Thank you for the pause.
I've been asked about the remnant, and are all the ones that read the journals liberators and come into this God understanding a remnant? Not necessarily. Some are beyond the remnant. Some will simply return to their higher station, if you will, or their progression. When we speak of remnant, many of you, perhaps all of you, I'm not going to break it out in this room, will be experiencing as remnant on the place. This will encompass quite a few of what you call your natives or your aboriginal ancient lineage. They're always the first and always the last, because they are gifted with knowledge of the way. And they have the fortitude and the knowing that they must bring this oral teaching down, that man will tamper with and destroy everything that he touches, including the word. So in the ending, you have the word. And then in the beginning, you have the word. And you must know the word, or you don't know what your journey is. So we are at this sequence telling you what you've done wrong, giving you some historical data so that you can understand it, see where you are, what you're going to have to do if you're going to cause revolution enough to allow this precious being called Earth to recover, or if it will perish as a planet, if it will perish as nations which you understand can see on your map, or in greatly changed form, face, at which point all ones, all things on the planet will not be lost. There will have to be a remnant to make it through and into the restructuring of a societal species of human. There is also what we call, you have labeled it the parallel planet. I don't call it a parallel planet. It is a higher experience of life of a planet that is almost duplicate of yours, but will have a period of total radiance in which you experience the higher technologies, the higher frequencies of dimension perception, and I like to call that flying with the eagles.
Does it have the natural beauty that this planet
Yes.
wants to find?
Yes.
Hatton.
Yes.
Is God omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent?
Yes. All the above. And that means that basically so are you. You've just forgotten. Yes.
You've mentioned said some things about time that is like really confusing to me. Is there a way you could like clarify how time is like?
No, I don't think I can clarify it for you, because it's finally just, you just have to accept it. I don't believe that the human being experiencing in this warp can comprehend it any more than you can comprehend that absolutely everything in your experience is truly illusion. That everything from the moment it is done is only a memory. So I can't. You measure everything. In the higher dimensions, we measure everything, but we measure it according to sequence of events and not by a clock. We would use a clock in dealing with you, because I needed to be here when you perceived it to be 1:30. And to explain that to you is that we're all experiencing, and there is no time or space when obviously you're going to get up and walk out, and I'm going to do something. And it's impossible for you to comprehend in your mind that you are also experiencing as Napoleon Bonaparte running about Europe. Part of it is your choosing, you see. What experience have you chosen? Well, obviously you've chosen to be here doing this. And this is why very frequently if you visit what you call your insane hospitals, where people that are now pronounced insane go, maybe they're a little schizophrenic. Who are you to say? Who are you to say what their experience is? Actually, in their own way, in their own perception, they are experiencing as much as you are. It is like having a headache. It doesn't matter if it's in your mind or not. It hurts. Well, if you have a lady who thinks she's Princess Diana and she's in the institution, but she believes that everything around her is her palace, isn't it? I can't, in words, explain something that just is. It's like air or wind, or it just is. And your perception of it is the only important thing. The only important thing. And this is why, again, when I say I don't care if you don't believe me, ones take exception to that. But I know that it is all timeless and spaceless, and you will come home. There ain't anywhere else to go. At the end of that road, you're going to be light again. It's up to you now. You see, little souls have to grow and experience. You ones are coming to a great graduation. The planet just made a great graduation. You as a species, and many of you as soul energies, are going to make a great, great graduation. And it's glory. And a lot of you are going to want to stick around to experience. A lot of you have assumed the responsibility of helping establish the next manifested cycle in this place, in a human physical cycle, because this is where souls gain experience in its most precious, bountiful measure. Other levels of experience, you become the teachers, the guides of those who are behind you. And you speak of something like 10 dimensions or 24 dimensions. It is infinite dimension until you are once again within God, which is light, life, and the Word. And you cannot define dimensions. There is no one place where you just hop over that line. There is a physical point in which the body dies, and therefore you perceive you hop over that line. Because at that point, you do. You no longer have these physical tools. And that's a very hard dividing line. Because if you weren't ready to pass over that one, you get earthbound, and you're very, very confused as a soul energy. And at that point, you better pray that you have honored your higher guides, because they will be there to take your hand.
Question?
Please.
If we are not effective in turning evil around or in overturning it, I'm not sure how else to say it, and the planet is destroyed, or somehow goodness is overcome, and some of us stay here to be the leaders in the new unfolding or graduation that you were just talking about, will there still be the resistance? Will there still be the battle as we perceive it now between good and evil? Only will be our perspective will be from a higher plane?
It will not be as you perceive it now. Because undoubtedly, if it goes on and you cannot turn it around nation by nation, as we're talking about politically, let us say, and it doesn't look like that probably is going to happen, you're going to push it to the brink of destruction. At the point that it becomes evident that you will pulverize the planet, just completely annihilate the planet, energies will be removed to be placed. Otherwise, that's what we talk about evacuation. The planet will then be encapsulated in an electronic shield, for lack of better words, a plasmic bubble, so that it maintains the order of your orbiting system. And, you know, when you lose a planet, and that experience has been done, where still parts of Moldak are passing, every movement, you must understand, is all. If you move your little finger, that will travel to all parts of the universe. And the universe is infinite. And when we say, I know that it's incorrect language to say there are universes above, beyond, below, without. It is because it is so magnificently infinite that there are words to describe it. You have no way to describe that experience. It just is. And these are comprehensions that are just not given to the earthbound human mind. You can accept it at some level, but to totally comprehend it is not a human gift.
Yes, one of the things that I'm not clear on is I believe that I've heard and understood from you that we could potentially have nuclear war and still live through that whole process, whether it be in the underground facilities at Edwards or here or whatever, and be here for the rebuilding of the next stage.
Yes.
That's where I guess there might be a difference between that and totally annihilating the planet.
Well, there's even another step. And that is if you get an out-of-control situation. There are two, in fact, there are two alternatives in the same little scenario here. One is if you start a war that is literally going to annihilate all of humanity, or you ignite your atmosphere, you will have an immediate shift of the poles, and the oceans will take over the lands. Now that is just, you're already shifting, as a matter of fact. But that will be released, there will be an immediate shift which will probably extinguish, at least bring down into some order of control or magnitude of control of the burning environment. If things get so out of control that it looks like you will lose all life species, probably there will be a shift. And once again, it will you will end up with an Atlantis-type situation. Actually, yes, let me clarify that. Atlantis was different than Lemuria, and you will end up with a typical Lemurian type of experience. Please.
Yes, I've been listening to your tapes, and through my study, I see that you're taking, well, you're taking care of the children. What I'm asking right now is, I see as a mass globule, you'll be taking care of the children. As we're being taught now in our slumber, the children that we have with us now, are they being taught also so that they won't have to go through that trauma?
Well, the ones off the crew, of course, are. I can't really do much justice with that subject because there are so many children on your place. But the children, oh yes, they're getting more training, actually, harder tasks. They know. Yes. Yes.
First, you've referred to this group several times and several other groups as the Goodly Group, the cleanup crew.
Yes, the Goodly Company.
Well, but we've done this job before coming in for the cleanup. Is it also the same that the same people that are keep tearing down the civilizations are the same ones that keep tearing down the other ones as well?
Yes.
So it's the same cycle, we just find a new
yes.
to do it in. We don't learn, we just...
Doesn't it occur to you that it's time to win one? Same old guy, yes.
A girlfriend and I are both studying a very large book called The Book of Knowledge or The Keys in English. How accurate is this book?
I won't comment on accuracy of books. I'm especially ask about the Book of Enoch a lot. There's a lot of truth in it. Utilize it.
Command.
Yes.
Could you comment on the works of Carlos Castaneda?
Carlos Castaneda did most of his writing under the influence of peyote and other mind hallucinogens, and I don't have much comment about it. I'm afraid that if I had to make a statement regarding his spiritual development, it would be negative because of his own perceptions of shamanic activities, etc. More thrust is put onto the physical input and experience in a spiritual way, but it is a very kind of a New Age metaphysics. I can't.
Yeah, he was a professor at UCLA, and he still is. And does he have, like, Tavistock support?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask John Coleman about that. I don't think that his work has been that important, quite frankly. I think it is. And it's interesting reading, I'm sure.
Tata.
Please.
When you were talking before, I mean, I know time is such a big problem, but if we should have the burning of the atmosphere, and this would be followed by the earth changes, can you give us any idea of time as we know it would be in hours, weeks, hours, days, weeks, that one would follow the other?
It depends on what actually finally ignites it. I can't tell you more than we're prepared. And I don't think that we would have more than 15, 20 minutes to get you ones off this place. And of course a lot will make that transition simply in energy form. Because you're not having nearly enough to inconvenience us opening their eyes yet. The longer period of your perceived actions and time, even if it allows, you know, a lousy president in, the longer you have the experience of physical life, the more can come into some level of understanding and maybe make that transition. If we have to get everybody off this planet in 15 minutes, you know that when that many craft materialize to bring you through a light beam, many, many are going to perish. They cannot physically tolerate that bombardment. Ones want to know, well, what kind of training? If you are working within God's laws to the best of your ability, you are in training. And you will accept His higher purpose and His higher instructions, and you will know what to do. If you totally refuse to even consider this, and you're going to sit in a ring of rocks out on the mountain waiting for something to happen, that's exactly where you will be. And I don't believe that your physical being can make it through the light beam. Now, you're having something else happen, and I don't mean to make light of that. Because while you are doing that, what you are actually doing is getting in touch with your godness, which in its own turn is giving growth. So that when confronted with the reality of the moment, you will make the right choice. The problem comes from the ones who completely turn off all spiritualness for whatever reason, and the saddest part is through loved ones pushing you away by their insistence that you believe in something that is not correct. And you say, oh, well, that's spiritual and church garbage. And I cannot counter that with anything other than this is the reality of your existence. And we're trying to shake you awake so that you come out of this dream illusion and recognize the reality. Now, Sister Thedra can say what she wants about this mouthpiece here. And she can say what she wants about the satanic and satanistic haton that speaks. And this one, Sananda versus her Sananda. But I want to remind you of something. That kind of judgment causes only damage. And you ones must be careful. Does that mean that the intent is wrong? That's not your problem. You must discern. You must discern. And just as a clue, when this scribe started to write, this same one who now pronounces her evil wrote a note to her and said, don't let anything, I repeat, let nothing deter you. This is your job. This is reality. Now, how do you equate that with one a year later who says that she is evil? Well, let me give you some more clues. That precious one walked through the gates of glory 2 or 3 times during that period of time. She was effectively taken out by ones claiming to attend her and there are ones in this room that can attest to that. And even she will come forth now in their defense and in denial. So you are the ones that must discern in every instance. And yet you also must remember something. For 40 years she served, she said. But she served under the order of Melchizedek by her own words. And you look it up. I'm not going to define it.
Commander.
Yes.
Can you comment on the biosphere experiment in Arizona?
Yes. It's a heap of rubbish. They cheated and they lied.
$30 million project.
It's a $30 million farce.
They're running out of food and the rats are eating their food that they're trying to grow.
It's worse than that. They make it as a survival type of, everybody can come in here and live just as long as nobody turns off your electricity or your generators, etc.
Who's funding it and why? The Bass family, I believe?
It's a distraction and it's...
Do you think that was government-sponsored to distract the survival community who know something to... Well, make it just seem so ridiculous.
Well, it does some things. If there's anyone else who wants to do one on the up and up, nobody's going to invest in it. So it does have that negative kind of impact. And maybe some good will come out of it. You'll learn something. Maybe you'll learn how to grow things in a biosphere. And that's not all bad because you're going to be growing things inside.
Commander?
Yes.
There was a railroad accident between Seacliff last summer between Ventura and Santa Barbara. And they claimed that a bunch of hydrazine, barrels of hydrazine rocket fuel was spilled. But they had the area closed off for 5 days. And there was a hazmat team there that revolted and they put them back to work. What was really spilled there? Is that, were they telling us the full story? I mean, they had the road cut off. How would 101 cut off between Ventura and Santa Barbara?
No, that, I believe that's what I would go back and check it, but I believe that's exactly what spilled.
Did it really take that long to clean up hydrazine?
As a matter of fact, they haven't cleaned it up really yet.
I have another question. I recall a gigantic explosion that was reported in northern Russia about 1984 at a Navy base, an ordnance base. And I guess the initial reports were there was some thought of an accidental atomic explosion. Can you explain or tell us about it?
Yes, they were running massive experiments with the beam system, pulse system, particle beams.
And did it to themselves or we did it to them?
No, they did it. They used massive thrusters. And you've had it happen here, too. And basically the same thing happened that happened at Chernobyl. You had a backfeed along that system. These get out of control. It's a chain reaction. And when that beam is fired, if something goes wrong, it will feed back on itself. And it does. It causes massive explosions. And at those times, you can believe that the elite call on the Brotherhood. There is nothing they can do about it. And if you can contain it to one nation, it is remarkable. Sometimes if we have been able to and are called in soon enough, we can stop it. We were able to stop it and shut it down at Livermore. It would have taken out the western part of your country. That one little thing that they announced was a radio malfunction in a transformer or something. At the one you are talking about, I'm sure that I'm centered on the same one you are thinking about. We came into the picture and we had a dozen crew members on board that craft, of which 9 of them perished. The others were attended in Russia in conjunction with the Space Command until they were sufficiently healed to be able to take them home. It was a very good working relationship. You are very fortunate in that some of the Russians who have control of the cosmospheres and those massive weapons are friends of ours. Yes.
Could you comment, if possible, on the exactly what the cosmospheres look like, the super heavies and the regular ones, and compare that with the Nazi flying saucers?
Oh, yeah, there actually is no longer any real comparison. The cosmospheres started out as platforms, basically not a lot different than what you might call those spheres. Now those cosmospheres are quite large and can be stationed actually in space as a space station. They are coming now in all sorts of varying sizes according to their use. And of course you will have, for instance, the 3 that are always stationed above Edwards are what I would consider a medium-sized craft. They work on magnetic pulses. And of course they have capability of seeing what I call seeing, pulsing through any cover that you've got. You know, you put all your stealth stuff up and they just go right through.
Is that the psycho-energetic rangefinder?
Well, I'm not going to get into technicalities. And I don't know what everybody in here knows. I'm not going to get any of my crew killed over that kind of discussion. I'll tell you, they're very sophisticated and some of them are quite large now. You have some stationed off the surface of the moon that can pinpoint a beam to anywhere on this planet, well, as long as it's toward the moon, and hit anything the size of a card in your pocket.
Who did all this development work on these cosmospheres? Was it done by the United States, by Russia, or did the space people bring it in here?
They did quite a lot of it in conjunction with some of the aliens who were working actually in Germany.
Did that have a lot to do with the stuff that Tesla created back in the 30s or 40s or whatever? The electromagnetic portion of it?
Yes.
So they kept
actually,
it
yes. The Soviets listened to Tesla. And that's where Tesla's most important work ended up being perfected. But what you had at the end of the war, the Second World War, and this is why you never found Adolf Hitler. You don't know what happened in that war. That's number one. You don't know why the war. If you read the journals, I shouldn't say you don't know, because everyone in here probably does know. And if you don't know, I suggest you get Skeletons in the Closet as fast as you can paddle over to the bookstore or to the cash register, whatever you do to get it. Look around the room here. Because Adolf Hitler took all that technology and shipped it to the Antarctic. And then he took a whole fleet of submarines and went off to the Antarctic and spent a lot of time in Argentina, etc.
Is So what's he doing with the equipment now, or is he merged?
It's been pretty much perfected. The monetary plates, the currency plates that he took, have been utilized to flood your economy through the Japanese. He took plates, actually supplied during the war to your enemy by your government. You see, you have the same ones supporting every war, causing it, structuring it, utilizing it, setting it up, and reaping the rewards for it. And you can go every time back in your memory time back to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds.
So the Rothschilds, like the beginning of the modern contemporary wars and stuff like that?
Yes, you'll always find those Rothschilds in there. And farther back than that, you're going to find the Khazars or the Zionists, the elders.
I realize that the Russian army knows how corrupt our government is, and their experience with it. Do they have the same feeling towards American people?
No, I think that probably you'll find that the Russians feel about the American people like you poor idiots. If you are traveling in Europe and you are around any European, if you are in the general hearing range of one of the natives do something foolish or idiotic or pretentious, they will say to you, acting just like an American. If anything, the world feels sorry for you, that you are so blind. Actually sorry for you. There's great brotherhood amongst men. What do you feel for the German people? What do you feel for the Japanese people? Hatred is something conjured by the evil empire to separate you, to render you helpless against them. And in every nation, you will find the troops if you reach out your hand. But they are told that you hate them. So it's all just a big game. Where are we to? Have we worn out this tape about?
Just about.
Well, why don't we let everybody go? I don't need to keep you here all night today. And we'll come again. Let's try to be a little more regular with our meetings, perhaps, and we can get through more questions without keeping you for so many hours at a time.
Well, Tom, may I say thank you very, very much for honoring this meeting?
Yes, and I thank you for coming. And I especially thank you ones for sharing. This is where we get it out on the table. Salut.
Thank you for the pause.
I've been asked about the remnant. And are all the ones that read the journals liberators and come into this God understanding a remnant? Not necessarily. Some are beyond the remnant. Some will simply return to their higher station, if you will, or their progression. When we speak of remnant, many of you, perhaps all of you, I'm not going to break it out in this room, will be experiencing as remnant on the place. This will encompass quite a few of what you call your natives or your aboriginal ancient lineage. They're always the first and always the last, because they are gifted with knowledge of the way. And they have the fortitude and the knowing that they must bring this oral teaching down, that man will tamper with and destroy everything that he touches, including the word. So in the ending, you have the word. And then in the beginning, you have the word. And you must know the word, or you don't know what your journey is. So we are at this sequence telling you what you've done wrong, giving you some historical data so that you can understand it, see where you are, what you're going to have to do if you're going to cause revolution enough to allow this precious being called Earth to recover, or if it will perish as a planet, if it will perish as nations which you understand can see on your map, or in greatly changed form, face, at which point all ones, all things on the planet will not be lost. There will have to be a remnant to make it through and into the restructuring of a societal species of human. There is also what we call, you have labeled it the parallel planet. I don't call it a parallel planet. It is a higher experience of life of a planet that is almost duplicate of yours, but will have a period of total radiance in which you experience the higher technologies, the higher frequencies of dimension, perception, and I like to call that flying with the eagles.
Does it have the natural beauty that this planet
yes.
wants to
find? Yes.
Hatton.
Yes.
Is God omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent?
Yes. All the above. And that means that basically so are you. You've just forgotten.
Hatton.
Yes.
You've mentioned some, said some things about time that is like really confusing to me. Is there a way you could like clarify how time is like?
No, I don't think I can clarify it for you, because it's finally just, you just have to accept it. I don't believe that the human being experiencing in this war can comprehend it any more than you can comprehend that absolutely everything in your experience is truly illusion. That everything from the moment it is done is only a memory. So I can't. You measure everything. In the higher dimensions, we measure everything, but we measure it according to sequence of events and not by a clock. We would use a clock in dealing with you because I needed to be here when you perceived it to be 1:30. And to explain that to you is that we're all experiencing, and there is no time or space when obviously you're going to get up and walk out, and I'm going to do something. And it's impossible for you to comprehend in your mind that you are also experiencing as Napoleon Bonaparte running about Europe. Part of it is your choosing, you see. What experience have you chosen? Well, obviously you've chosen to be here doing this. And this is why very frequently if you visit what you call your insane hospitals where people that are now pronounced insane go, maybe they're a little schizophrenic. Who are you to say? Who are you to say what their experience is? Actually, in their own way, in their own perception, they are experiencing as much as you are. It is like having a headache. It doesn't matter if it's in your mind or not. It hurts. Well, if you have a lady who thinks she's Princess Diana and she's in the institution, but she believes that everything around her is her palace. Isn't it? I can't, in words, explain something that just is. It's like air or wind, or it just is. And your perception of it is the only important thing. The only important thing. And this is why, again, when I say I don't care if you don't believe me, ones take exception to that. But I know that it is all timeless and spaceless, and you will come home. There ain't anywhere else to go. At the end of that road, you're going to be light again. It's up to you now. You see, little souls have to grow and experience. You ones are coming to a great graduation. The planet just made a great graduation. You as a species and many of you as soul energies are going to make a great, great graduation. And it's glory. And a lot of you are going to want to stick around to experience. A lot of you have assumed the responsibility of helping establish the next manifested cycle. In this place, in a human physical cycle, because this is where souls gain experience in its most precious, bountiful measure. Other levels of experience, you become the teachers, the guides of those who are behind you. And you speak of something like 10 dimensions or 24 dimensions. It is infinite dimension until you are once again within God, which is light, life, and the Word. And you cannot define dimensions. There is no one place where you just hop over that line. There is a physical point in which the body dies, and therefore you perceive you hop over that line. Because at that point, you do. You no longer have these physical tools. And that's a very hard dividing line. Because if you weren't ready to pass over that one, you get earthbound, and you're very, very confused as a soul energy. And at that point, you better pray that you have honored your higher guides. Because they will be there to take your hand.
Question?
Please.
If we are not effective in turning evil around or in overturning eagle, I'm not sure how else to say it, and the planet is destroyed or somehow goodness is overcome, and some of us stay here to be the leaders in the new unfolding or graduation that you were just talking about, will there still be the resistance? Will there still be the battle as we perceive it now between good and evil? Only will be our perspective will be from a higher plane?
It will not be as you perceive it now. Because undoubtedly, if it goes on and you cannot turn it around nation by nation, as we're talking about politically, let us say, and it doesn't look like that probably is going to happen, you're going to push it to the brink of destruction. At the point that it becomes evident that you will pulverize the planet, just completely annihilate the planet, energies will be removed to be placed. Otherwise, that's what we talk about evacuation. The planet will then be encapsulated in an electronic shield, for lack of better words, a plasmic bubble, so that it maintains the order of your orbiting system. And, you know, when you lose a planet, and that experience has been done, where still parts of Moldak are passing, every movement, you must understand, is all. If you move your little finger, that will travel to all parts of the universe. And the universe is infinite. And when we say, I know that it's incorrect language to say there are universes above, beyond, below, without. It is because it is so magnificently infinite that there aren't words to describe it. You have no way to describe that experience. It just is. And these are comprehensions that are just not given to the earthbound human mind. You can accept it at some level, but to totally comprehend it is not a human gift.
Yes, one of the things that I'm not clear on is I believe that I've heard and understood from you that we could potentially have nuclear war and still live through that whole process, whether it be in the underground facilities at Edwards or here or whatever, and be here for the rebuilding of the next stage.
Yes.
That's where I guess there might be a difference between that and totally annihilating the planet.
Well, there's even another step, and that is if you get an out-of-control situation. There are two, in fact, there are two alternatives in the same little scenario here. One is if you start a war that is literally going to annihilate all of humanity, or you ignite your atmosphere, you will have an immediate shift of the poles and the oceans will take over the lands. Now that is just, you're already shifting, as a matter of fact. But that will be released, there will be an immediate shift which will probably extinguish, at least bring down into some order of control or magnitude of control of the burning environment. If things get so out of control that it looks like you will lose all life species, probably there will be a shift. And once again, it will you will end up with an Atlantis type situation.
Question.
Actually, yes, let me clarify that. Atlantis was different than Lemuria, and you will end up with a typical Lemurian type of experience. Please.
I've listened to your tapes, and through my study, I see that you're taking, well, you're taking care of the children. What I'm asking right now is, I see as a mass globule, you'll be taking care of the children. As we're being taught now in our slumber, the children that we have with us now, are they being taught also so that they won't have to go through that trauma?
Well, the ones off the crew, of course, are. I can't really do much justice with that subject because there are so many children on your place. But the children, oh yes, they're getting more training. Actually, harder tasks. They know. Yes. Yes.
First. You've referred to this group several times and several other groups as the Goodly Group, the cleanup crew.
Yes, the Goodly Company.
Well, but we've done this job before coming in for the cleanup. Is it also the same that the same people that are keep tearing down the civilizations are the same ones that keep tearing down the other ones as well?
Yes.
But it's the same, just the same cycle, we just find a new to do it in. We don't learn, we just...
Doesn't it occur to you that it's time to win one? Same old guy, yes.
A girlfriend and I are both studying a very large book called The Book of Knowledge, or The Keys of English. How accurate is this book?
I won't comment on accuracy of books. I'm especially asked about the Book of Enoch a lot. There's a lot of truth in it. Utilize it.
Commander.
Yes.
Could you comment on the works of Carlos Castaneda?
Carlos Castaneda did most of his writing under the influence of peyote and other mind hallucinogens, and I don't have much comment about it. I'm afraid that if I had to make a statement regarding his spiritual development, it would be negative because of his own perceptions of shamanic activities, etc. More thrust is put onto the physical input and experience in a spiritual way, but it is a very kind of a New Age metaphysics. I can't.
Yeah, he was a professor at UCLA, and he still is. And does he have like Tavistock support?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask John Coleman about that. I don't think that his work has been that important, quite frankly. I think it is. And it's interesting reading, I'm sure.
Hatan.
Please.
When you talked before, I mean, I know time is such a big problem, but if we should have the burning of the atmosphere, and this would be followed by the earth changes, can you give us any idea of time as we know it would be in hours, weeks, hours, days, weeks, that one follow the other?
It depends on what actually finally ignites it. I can't tell you more than we're prepared. And I don't think that we would have more than 15, 20 minutes to get you ones off this place. And of course, a lot will make that transition simply in energy form. Because you're not having nearly enough to inconvenience us opening their eyes yet. The longer period of your perceived actions and time, even if it allows, you know, a lousy president in, the longer you have the experience of physical life, the more can come into some level of understanding and maybe make that transition. If we have to get everybody off this planet in 15 minutes, you know that when that many craft materialize to bring you through a light beam, many, many are going to perish. They cannot physically tolerate that bombardment. Ones want to know, well, what kind of training? If you are working within God's laws to the best of your ability, you are in training. And you will accept His higher purpose and His higher instructions, and you will know what to do. If you totally refuse to even consider this, and you're going to sit in a ring of rocks out on the mountain waiting for something to happen, that's exactly where you will be. And I don't believe that your physical being can make it through the light beam. Now, you're having something else happen, and I don't mean to make light of that. Because while you are doing that, what you are actually doing is getting in touch with your godness, which in its own turn is giving growth. So that when confronted with the reality of the moment, you will make the right choice. The problem comes from the ones who completely turn off all spiritualness for whatever reason, and the saddest part is through loved ones pushing you away by their insistence that you believe in something that is not correct. And you say, oh, well, that's spiritual and church garbage. And I cannot counter that with anything other than this is the reality of your existence, and we're trying to shake you awake so that you come out of this dream illusion and recognize the reality. Now, Sister Thedra can say what she wants about this mouthpiece here. And she can say what she wants about the satanic and satanistic Hatton that speaks. And this one, Sananda versus her Sananda. But I want to remind you of something. That kind of judgment causes only damage. And you ones must be careful. Does that mean that the intent is wrong? That's not your problem. You must discern. You must discern. And just as a clue, when this scribe started to write, this same one who now pronounces her evil wrote a note to her and said, don't let anything, I repeat, let nothing deter you. This is your job. This is reality. Now, how do you equate that with one a year later who says that she is evil? Well, let me give you some more clues. That precious one walked through the gates of glory 2 or 3 times during that period of time. She was effectively taken out by ones claiming to attend her, and there are ones in this room that can attest to that. And even she will come forth now in their defense and in denial. So you are the ones that must discern in every instance. And yet you also must remember something. For 40 years she served, she said. But she served under the order of Melchizedek by her own words. And you look it up. I'm not going to define it.
Commander.
Yes.
Can you comment on the biosphere experiment in Arizona?
Yes. It's a heap of rubbish. They cheated and they lied.
$30 million project.
It's a $30 million farce.
They're running out of food and the rats are eating their food that they're trying to grow.
It's worse than that. They make it as a survival type of, everybody can come in here and live just as long as nobody turns off your electricity or your generators, etc.
Who's funding it and what? The Bass family, you believe?
It's a distraction and it's...
Do you think that was government-sponsored to distract the survival community who know something to... Well,
it does some things. If there's anyone else who wants to do one on the up and up, nobody's going to invest in it. So it does have that negative kind of impact. And maybe some good will come out of it. You'll learn something. Maybe you'll learn how to grow things in a biosphere. And that's not all bad because you're going to be growing things inside.
Commander?
Yes.
There was a railroad accident between Encicla last summer between Ventura and Santa Barbara. And they claimed that a bunch of hydrazine, barrels of hydrazine rocket fuel was spilled. But they had the area closed off for 5 days. And there was a hazmat team there that revolted and they put them back to work. What was really spilled there? Is that, were they telling us the full story? I mean, they had the road cut off, the Highway 101 cut off between Ventura and Santa Barbara.
No, that, I believe that's what, I would go back and check it, but I believe that's exactly what's spilled.
Did it really take that long to clean up hydrazine?
As a matter of fact, they haven't cleaned it up really yet.
I have another question. I recall a gigantic explosion that was reported in northern Russia about 1984 at a Navy base, an ordnance base. And I guess the initial reports were there was some thought of an accidental atomic explosion. Can you explain or tell us about
that? Yes, they were running massive experiments with the beam system, pulse system, particle beams.
And did it for themselves or we did it for them?
No, they did it. They used massive thrusters and you've had it happen here too. And basically the same thing happened that happened at Chernobyl. You had a backfeed along that system. These get out of control. It's a chain reaction. And when that beam is fired, if something goes wrong, it will feed back on itself. And it does. It causes massive explosions. And at those times, you can believe that the elite call on the Brotherhood. There is nothing they can do about it. And if you can contain it to one nation, it is remarkable. Sometimes if we have been able to and are called in soon enough, we can stop it. We were able to stop it and shut it down at Livermore. It would have taken out the western part of your country. That one little thing that they announced was a radio malfunction in a transformer or something. At the one you are talking about, I'm sure that I'm centered on the same one you are thinking about. We came into the picture and we had a dozen crew members on board that craft, of which nine of them perished. The others were attended in Russia in conjunction with the Space Command until they were sufficiently healed to be able to take them home. It was a very good working relationship. You are very fortunate in that some of the Russians who have control of the cosmospheres and those massive weapons are friends of ours. Yes.
Could you comment, if possible, on the exactly what the cosmospheres look like, the super heavies and the regular ones, and compare that with the Nazi flying saucers?
Oh, yeah, there actually is no longer any real comparison. The cosmospheres started out as platforms, basically not a lot different than what you might call those spheres. Now those cosmospheres are quite large and can be stationed actually in space as a space station. They are coming now in all sorts of varying sizes according to their use. And of course you will have, for instance, the three that are always stationed above Edwards are what I would consider a medium-sized craft. They work on magnetic pulses. And of course they have capability of seeing what I call seeing, pulsing through any cover that you've got. You know, you put all your stealth stuff up and they just go right through.
Is that the psycho-energetic rangefinder?
Well, I'm not going to get into technicalities. And I don't know what everybody in here knows. I'm not going to get any of my crew killed over that kind of discussion. I'll tell you, they're very sophisticated and some of them are quite large now. You have some stationed off the surface of the moon that can pinpoint a beam to anywhere on this planet, well, as long as it's toward the moon, and hit anything the size of a card in your pocket.
Who did all this development work on these cosmospheres? Was it done by the United States, by Russia, or did the space people bring it in here?
They did quite a lot of it in conjunction with some of the aliens who were working actually in Germany.
Did that have a lot to do with the stuff that Tesla created back in the 30s or 40s or whatever? The electromagnetic portion of it?
Yes.
So they kept
actually,
the
yes. The Soviets listened to Tesla. And that's where Tesla's most important work ended up being perfected. But what you had at the end of the war, the Second World War, and this is why you never found Adolf Hitler, you don't know what happened in that war. That's number one. You don't know why the war. If you read the journals, I shouldn't say you don't know, because everyone in here probably does know. And if you don't know, I suggest you get Skeletons in the Closet as fast as you can paddle over to the bookstore or to the cash register, whatever you do to get it. Look around the room here. Because Adolf Hitler took all that technology and shipped it to the Antarctic. And then he took a whole fleet of submarines and went off to the Antarctic and spent a lot of time in Argentina, etc.
So So what's he doing with the equipment now, or is he merged?
It's been pretty much perfected. The monetary plates, the currency plates that he took, have been utilized to flood your economy through the Japanese. He took plates, actually supplied during the war to your enemy by your government. You see, you have the same ones supporting every war, causing it, structuring it, utilizing it, setting it up, and reaping the rewards for it. And you can go every time back, in your memory time, back to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds.
So the Rothschilds, like the beginning of the modern contemporary wars and stuff like that?
Yes, you'll always find those Rothschilds in there. And farther back than that, you're going to find the Khazars or the Zionists, the elders.
I realize that the Russian army knows how corrupt our government is through their experience with it. Do they have the same feeling towards the American people?
No, I think that probably you'll find that the Russians feel about the American people like you poor idiots. If you are traveling in Europe and you are around any European, if you are in the general hearing range of one of the natives do something foolish or idiotic or pretentious, they will say to you, acting just like an American. If anything, the world feels sorry for you.